It is good to be here. I like it. I think of your church's cake. Now, I don't like icing on cookies. I don't even have to have it on cake, but this church's cake and the icing is seated behind my wife, our daughter-in-law Rose, and her husband, and our grandchildren, and their father. But no, I love you. I love you, Nate and Rose. I really do. But it is. It's good to see them. Guys, it is just good to be saved. It really is. I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The message this morning is about a subject that we all like to hear, I think, about, but it is a very solemn verse. It's not really good news. I am a believer, and don't take this wrong, but I believe in love. I think somebody made a song like that one time, but I really do. By that, I mean that as far as like marriage, I don't think it's a contract. I don't think it's a contract between two people. You know, I went to a Bible college where if you were a single girl when you showed up, it was like throwing a fly into eight spider webs. Guys wouldn't even try to find out girls' last names. They walk up and they say, "What's your name?" And when she got to the first one, he'd say, "Well, stop right there. I'm changing the other one anyway. What does it matter?" And we don't have to be in love. You just have to submit. That's just how they looked at life. You know, I say submit, you do what you're told. And I don't believe that. I really do believe in love. I really do. I like being in love with my wife. I fell in love with her. I have not fallen out, and it has been good. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, it says this, verse 22, very solemn. It says this: "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, cursed. Maranatha, the Lord cometh." Let's pray. Father, thank you now, God, for your goodness, your grace, and your very great kindness. Thank you, God, for this book. Lord God, as we come to you this morning, I think I speak for these people. We have no problem with this book because there's nothing wrong with this book. We have no problem with you. There's nothing wrong with you. Lord God, if we want to see the biggest problem, every one of us, the biggest problem in our life, all we have to do is go look in a mirror and it stares back at us. Now, Lord, I pray that something that will be said this morning would be a help. I hope it would be a help to your people. I hope they would be edified, and they being edified, that they would live in such a way that you are glorified. God, if they're edified, you're glorified. It just doesn't get better than that. So, Lord, we pray that you will bless this service time for yourself. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. The Bible says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ. I talk to some Christians, I talk to Christians a lot, but I talk to some people sometimes, and they'll say this: "You know, I'm saved, and I know I'm saved, but God doesn't bless anything I do. Sometimes it is almost as if I'm cursed." Yeah, well, that might be the problem, okay? You say, "You mean I'm going to hell?" No, if you're saved, you can't go to hell. But you can still live under a curse on this earth. You say, "Hell," that's what it says right there. And our problem is that love is where you engage your heart. And we're in love with all kinds of things other than the Lord. Now, if I ask you if you love the Lord, you know the first question that goes through most of your minds? Do I hate him? Do I do anything against him? Do I do anything to hurt him? No, I must love him. Guys, do you know that I don't hate Bill Clinton? I don't do anything against Bill Clinton, but don't mistake that for love. Okay? I mean, I'm not out, you know, trying to hunt him down or anything like that. Guys, love is an active emotion. We all know about it. And so I'm going to talk to you about some things about love. About love one another, husband and wife, however you want it. And here's what I want you to do. You compare it. You be the judge of yourself. If you say, "Well, I love the Lord. I must love the Lord because I didn't throw rocks at heaven." See if you act toward God like you do toward somebody that you are in love. The first thing, when you are in love with somebody, they are ever in your thoughts. You think about them all the time. You don't have to get up and say, "Now I'm supposed to think about something today." Guys, I forget things all the time. I mean all the time. I write a note so I remember and forget the note. It happens, okay? When I pastored, I remember one time we had missionaries over the church, and when the service was over, my wife took the missionary's wife and went to the house. And then after a while, I grabbed the missionary and went to the house, and I walked in, and she said, "Do you have the boys?" I said, "Wait, don't tell me, three of them, yeah." I last seen at our church, she goes, "Don't worry, one of the deacons is bringing them." Sometimes, you know, there was another church in town that had a Christian school, and our sons went there. And so after, I would leave the church and I would go by the school and pick them up and then I'd take them home. And sometimes to save time, I just left the church and went home. Which seemed just fine to me. They actually became the other church's janitors at age 5. But I'll tell you something. Nothing ever had to make me think about Kathy. I thought about her all the time. I think about her all the time. I still do that. You say, why? That is love. Let me ask you a question. How much do you think about the Lord? I mean, how much is he in your mind? You know, when you're in love with somebody, they will intrude into your thoughts. They will, their image will come. They will be there. And you will just constantly think about them. And we say we love the Lord and we don't even think about him. I don't know how much love there is for the Lord amongst people who say, I love the Lord. When you love him, you think about him. Guys, there's all kinds of good things to think about him. I think there's good things about my wife. I mean, my wife, and I don't want to go off too much on this other than the list that she gave me to read. But, I remember when I asked the Lord for a wife, I did want somebody beautiful. I really did. I wanted somebody that was a good cook. I really did. I never asked for that. I'll tell you what happened. I went to a Bible class one time, and a guy was there who's in the Navy. And he said, I brought this wave that was a woman in the Navy. This woman was kind of a tidal wave. But anyway, he said, you were Catholic, weren't you? I said, yeah. He said, I brought this girl. I just led her to Christ. She's 20 years old. I was 20 years old. And he said, maybe you could help her. She just got saved out of the Catholic Church. Maybe you could help her. And I saw her. And the first thing that happened is my watch stopped. Okay? I mean, this girl was stunning, not like you think. Stunning like a punch to the head. And But you know, she just got saved and she was so excited about the Lord. She really was. She just was so excited about the truth of the gospel and what she discovered. And I talked to her and I went home that night into my male vanity. I said, boy, God, I'm sure glad you don't want me to marry somebody like that. And he said, what if I do? Do you know that there is no way out of that situation? If you say, I refuse to marry somebody like that, he'll say, marry her. And if you say, okay, I surrender to marry somebody like that, he'll say, marry her. Right? And I didn't own a gun, so there was no escape for this. And here's what I said. I said, you know, Lord, I think it's time that I put in an order for a wife. And I wanted to ask God for somebody beautiful, and I forgot to do that. And I wanted to ask God for somebody that would clean our house and be a good cook. Oh, you wanted a servant. No, I wanted a wife. And when I got down on my knees, I forgot about all that. And I said this. I said, God, give me someone who will love you more than she loves me. I don't ever want to be your first love. I want to be your second, but I want her to love you more than she loves me. And God, I want her to understand that I'm going to love you more than I love her. Nobody's going to be second to her. She's going to be the second love in my life. And you know what I realized when I prayed that? That girl qualified because she really did love the Lord. Fortunately, she did not permeate my thoughts. And and God is in his infinite mercy. I don't know, maybe her submarine sank right after that because I never saw her again. And but you know, when I met Kathy, I am telling you what, she was just always in my mind. She was always in my thoughts. Guys, is the Lord in your thoughts? How can you say, I love the Lord and never think about him? If you love somebody, you think about them. They're in your thoughts, are they not? And we say we love the Lord. And when we say we love the Lord, what we really mean is I don't actively hate him. But that is not love. If you didn't shoot your neighbor, that doesn't mean you love him. You might not like the guy. Not being actively against him doesn't mean you love him. And so as far as the Lord, let me ask you, what do you do? How about you and God? How much is he in your thoughts? If nothing else, you ought to just think about what you deserve. You deserve hell. Is that not true? Guys, if you would realize, not that you did deserve hell, that you deserve hell now. You know, if there's anything that weighs heavy on me, it is that I was only 20 when I got saved. I got saved from 20 years of sin. I've had 45 since then that far outweigh what I did when I was 20. And what I'm telling you is I love the Lord even more. I told you, sometimes I thank God that I'm saved, and sometimes I thank God that I'm still saved. Guys, you ought to thank God you're still saved.
You really should. You ought to thank God you can walk, you can talk, you can see. He ought to permeate your thoughts. You know, when we would be with the boys, we'd be someplace and blue sky days, you guys get a lot of them. And in the Midwest, we don't get a lot of them, okay? They scheduled them. And sometimes we'd be someplace beautiful and I'd just stop and I'd say, boys, let's just thank God for the beautiful day. Make sure they thank him right now. Have you ever just stopped doing what you're doing and say it's a beautiful day and tell him thank you for it? Thank you for being able to. Do you ever smell the air and it smelled good? And I think this, if a sin-cursed earth can have a good smell, surely heaven must have a good smell. I think heaven, I look forward to the smell of heaven. I really do. I think it's probably a cross between fried chicken and a grilled steak, but guys, when you love somebody, they are always in your thoughts. When you love somebody, you desire to always be with them. I remember the first time I fell in love. I was 6. It was the first grade. That's when I discovered there were girls. When I discovered girls, I thought, you telling me I've been wasting 6 years playing marbles? I felt like, wow, I got to make up for this. I fell in love with a girl in the first grade. Her name was Linda Johnson. And I had visions of being married by second grade. I really did. And I thought about her all the time. It was just, that was it. I saw her not long ago. She is still 4 foot tall. She now weighs 450 pounds, drags a leg, and she's hunchback, you know. But really, you know, some of you guys that you fell in love in high school, some of you guys, some of you girls, you ought to get a picture of what they look like now. And you go, oh, thank you for delivering me from that. But you desire to always be with them. Again, back to Kathy, because she is the love of my life down here, human speaking. When I met her, I just said, I told her this. I asked her to marry me for this reason. I said, I don't want to be married, but I want to marry you. I didn't want to be married, but I didn't want to be without her. And God made this arrangement called marriage so that when there's somebody you just can't live without, you can live with them permanently. Marriage for whatever man and woman want to do that. Okay? But guys, you should desire always to be with the Lord. You ought to think about what your eternity is going to be. You ought to think about, you know, one of the reasons you ought to get saved. Let me show you something. Keep your place here if you want, but go Psalm 116. And I like Psalm 116. And if you ever say, you know, I talk with guys. You ever talk to a lost guy that thinks God has done a lot for him? I talked to a lost guy one time, and he said, God has been so good to me. Lost man. He said, God has been so good to me, and you're telling me to ask him for salvation. I don't think I should ask him for another thing. Wow, can you imagine going to hell on that kind of character? And he said, well, how can I repay God for all the things he's done for me? I said, oh, it's real, real easy. Take a look. Look at verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? That's what the guy was asking. Look what it says. 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. 14, and I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. I said, if you want to pay God back, a lost man, if you want to pay God back for the good he's done for you, you know how you do it? You ask him for salvation. That's what he said. And then you pay your vows. Guys, it's after you're saved, what you do for God counts, right? You know, probably one of the saddest things, you know, we look at wicked people, lost people, and murderers and dopers and all this other stuff that live an ungodly life. And we say, boy, that sure is a waste of a life. No, a waste of a life is the godly lost person. Lost people who are trying to serve a God that they are trying to love and trying to do something for God, and it's going to mean nothing. I was in Montreal, and we were talking to a guy. We were at a car dealer, and the pastor and I were talking to this guy, and we started witnessing him, 24 years old, and he started in with, well, you know, I look at nature. And I thought, oh, here we go, the God of nature, and, you know, let's all serve nature. We're serving God. That's not what he said at all. He said, I look at nature, and he said, the earth is the exact right distance from the sun to support life. If it was too close, it would burn up. If it was too far, it'd freeze. Well, that's true. And he said, I know there's got to be a God. I know there's got to be a designer for that. And he said, how do I pay him back? He kept saying that over and over. How do I pay him back? Lost guy. Guys, at a muscle car dealership, this kid got saved between a 1967 427 Corvette and a 65 Mustang GT. If salvation takes, that one's got to take, okay? But you see, if he wants to pay God back, you get saved. You take one more thing, take salvation, and then pay him back. Guys, I look forward. You know, I know we have rewards awaiting us, and we talk about reigning and all those other things, and that is part of God's plan. The eternal reward system was laid out by God. It is ours to partake of, and nobody got exempt from it, right? And I look forward to the eternal reward system, but I look forward to spending eternity with this God. You know, I tell you, you ought to read your Bible every day. Some days I read my Bible, and I will just stop reading, and I'll look up toward heaven, and I'll say, this is some book. Man, this is some book. You ever read a book and say, boy, this is some book. I have said that, but this is some book. And sometimes I'm reading my Bible, and I say to God, the author, I say, man, this is some book. Some days I don't say that. Some days I read that book, and I'm so impressed, I say, you are some God. That's when I'm reading the author. Guys, you need to read the book. You need to read the author. And when you read this author, you know what you should say? I want to be with him always. Do you understand that if you're saved, you're going to spend eternity with the God of this book? We will always be with him. That blesses my heart. And so if you love somebody, you should always desire to be with them. If you love somebody, you should desire that they be happy. I've never known anybody that said, man, I hope I can marry her so I can beat her daily so she can be unhappy. Nobody says, I want to marry them so I can make them sad. I want to marry them so I can make them unhappy. Isn't that right? You did not tell your spouse that. Maybe you did achieve that, but the fact is that you did not say, marry me so I can ruin your life. You did not say, marry me so that every day will be a horror. You said, marry me. I want you to be happy. Guys, when you love somebody, look, if you love somebody, if something good happens to them that you had nothing to do with, you are glad that something good happened to them because you love them. Isn't that true? Guys, I am glad when God wins one. Now, I don't mean God wins one like he has the ability to lose. Look, we're the reason he loses, okay? He loses ground because we fail him in some way. And when I hear God wins one, I am so happy for him. I don't have to be the guy that did it. You know, I pray for years. I want to see a revival in my country. I really do. I've prayed for years. And there are preachers I don't even like that are praying for a revival. And you know what I've said to God? God, I want a revival in this country, because if we have a revival, you're going to get glorified, as you should. And if you're not going to bring this revival with me, bring it with a guy I don't like. If you want to use him to bring in your revival, what do I care? As long as you get the glory. And so, guys, you should desire that God get glory. I'm talking about with you, not in the picture. You should desire that God wins, that God gets exalted. You know, it's gotten so bad now where it just seems like if anybody says anything about God, my wife and I are going, yes, yes, look, they're pointing to God. And they may not have the exact right picture of him, but it's just nice to hear God get some credit, isn't it? And so you should be glad for it. When you love somebody, you want good things to happen to them. When somebody gives my wife something, you know, she goes someplace and somebody gives her a gift card, places where she likes to shop regularly. She likes to get gift cards at places where she shops regularly. Gift cards. Get it? Anyway, I am blessed. I am blessed. Look, she is so popular, I am fast becoming known across the country as Kathy Gibbs' husband. If she finds out how to drive that RV, I'm out of a job, guys. But the fact is this, guys, when you love somebody, you want good things to happen to them. You want good things said about them. Don't you like to hear God praised? I mean, just like to hear God get some praise. I am not ecumenical. I preach in Baptist churches. I don't preach in Pentecostal churches or Assembly of God churches or Church of God churches. But man, if I hear one of those guys somehow say, this happened and God got a victory, I share in that victory. I am glad for God. If you love somebody, you just want good things to happen to them. You want things that make them happy. If you love somebody, you actively want to make them happy. It's great if somebody you love, something good happens to them, correct? You know what's better? When you get to do it. Oh yeah, it's great if somebody gives them something and that puts a smile on their face. You say, what could be better than that? You give them something and it puts a smile on their face. You know what, could I talk to you guys for just a second? Some of you guys, when you were dating your wife, you dressed up nice. You actually took a shower. You actually combed your hair. You brushed your teeth. They might have been green, but they were light green. You opened the door for her. You treated her nicely. You bought her gifts. You bought her flowers. You took her out to eat. Then as soon as you made her last name your last name, you quit doing all that. Were you deceiving her? Were you trying to convince her that if she marries me, if you marry me, this is what life will be like? And as soon as you got what you wanted, you quit doing that? Guys, I love going out with my wife. I like opening the door for her. I don't religiously open the car door for her, but I do open the door for her. I open doors, the building doors for her. I buy her flowers. You say on given days? No, man, I buy her flowers. I just bring her flowers in and call it celebrating today. The only thing that makes me mad when I buy flowers is the cash register lady. Because I buy flowers and she goes, "What'd you do?" It's like, what? When guys buy flowers, they gotta have done something bad? I said, "Lady, I married the greatest lady on this planet and she deserves far more than these flowers." But it's all she's getting. I buy flowers, they go, "Somebody's in trouble." I said, "Somebody is not." Oh, look, we had an anniversary and neither one of us bought each other cards. We just had an anniversary. You say, why? Because we have been moving so much that she couldn't get me a card and I couldn't get her a card. And I said, that's just how it happened. We both agreed on that. We're not going to make that a tradition. But what if, you know, it's nice if somebody gives the person you love something and it makes them feel good, but isn't it nice if you're the one that did it? And that's why I say, you know what we ought to do? We ought to start every day this way. What could I do today to put a smile on your face? I fear that we start every day with those words. They're just in the wrong order. Here's what you can do today to put a smile on my face. You say, "Preacher, that's not what I pray." Why don't you listen to your prayers? I don't care what you're praying. Most of what you pray, it boils down to, if you do this and I will smile. Isn't that really true? I mean, it can be, give me a better job, give me a pay raise, don't let my mother-in-law visit, tell my wife I'm right, don't let me get caught, whatever the case may be. However you pray, basically, here's what we're praying. Here's what you can do to put a smile on my face, right? But God does not exist to put smiles on our faces. We exist to put a smile on His. And if you ever did it, I mean, if you ever did something, you go, "I'll bet that one's got him grinning." Just, wouldn't it be nice? You want them to be happy, but if you can be the source of that happiness, doesn't that make you feel good? Let me ask you a question. When is the last time you said, "I'm going to do something to be a source of happiness to my God"? Now, for some of you, coming here today it was. I think you ought to be in church every time the doors are open. I don't think you should be in church because of who's speaking. I don't think you should be in church because of some special thing at church. If the doors are open and the lights are on, you need to be in your church. But some of you, especially bless God today, you say, why? Because somebody's sitting here right now. Before you came here, you were so sick physically. You were sick, didn't feel good. And you said, "Man, for 2 cents, I wouldn't even go." And the Lord says, "Look how bad they felt and they came to church for me." And that's something. Some of you, you're grieved about something. You're brokenhearted about something. You are scared about something in your future. You're seeing a storm on the horizon and you're headed for the horizon. And you are like this far from despair. And you know what you said? "I'm gonna go to church anyway." A little voice said, I heard people say, "Well, you know, times are tough. We're just gonna put church aside for about 6 months." That is the wrong time. When times are bad, that is the wrong time to put church aside. That is a time when you double down your effort to be there even more. And I'm telling you, somebody came here this morning, you were distraught. It is a financial problem or a marriage problem or whatever, health problem, whatever the case may be. And you said, "You know, I'm going to go to church and it's not going to do one thing for my problem today, but I'm going to go to church anyway." And God said, "Look at that. Isn't that nice? Hey, just pass some gospel tracts, win somebody to Christ, knock on some doors, do something, find something you can do that you don't have to benefit from. But what do you do? What do you do? You ought to do a list sometime and say, here's what I do to intentionally put a smile on the face of my God. And some of you, after about 10 minutes, you'd go, "How come I still have a blank sheet of paper?" And yet, if somebody asked if you love the Lord, you'd have put your hand up. No, you weren't lying. You were just redefining it so that it didn't cost you anything. You know what love does? Look, the greatest proof of love is sacrifice. That is the greatest proof. When a guy takes a girl out, you know what he's doing? He's saying, I'm sacrificing an evening that I could spend with myself. I am sacrificing money that I earned to give to you to take you out. You know what she's saying? I'm sacrificing a really nice evening to be with you. But I like the place where we're eating. And you know what they get married? Hey, listen, I won't go far with this, but this is why some guy looks at some young girl and says, if you love me, you will. Because they want sacrifice. Honey, if some guy ever says that, say, if you love me, you won't ask. Yeah. And if it doesn't get any farther than that, smack him in the mouth. Yeah. And tell him, don't ever come near me again. Yeah. Say, but I love him. Well, stop it. And you know what you did when you got married? Here's what you said. You guys said, you know, I could do just fine. But I want to give up my entire life to spend it with you. And you ladies said, you know I could do fine without you. But I'm going to give up my entire life with you. Guys, the greatest proof of love is sacrifice. That is why the greatest sacrifice in history was the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. How could anybody say, well, I'm just not sure God loves me? How do you think there could be a cross if God did not love you? That is the greatest proof of the love of God, is the cross. It was the greatest sacrifice there is. But let me ask you a question. What have you sacrificed for him? You know, I led a friend of mine, an old high school friend of mine, to the Lord after I got saved. And his hair was down over his shoulders, you know, and I didn't say anything to him. But he started reading his Bible, and he got 1 Corinthians. And he read, doth not nature itself teach that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. And I could tell he was under conviction. You know how you can tell when somebody's under conviction? They start talking themselves out of it. And he said this. He said, well, you know, I think if God wants me to cut my hair, he'll make me want to cut it. I said, never. Think about this. I said, if God wants you to cut your hair and makes you want to, you're doing it for yourself. You're not doing it for him. You're doing it for yourself. I said, if God wants you to cut your hair, he'll say, cut your hair. You should be able to say, I don't want to, but I'll do it for you. That's what I did when I got my hair cut. Man, God told me to go in a barber shop. I went in this barber shop. The guy thought, he must be looking for directions. He can't actually want a haircut. And then I got in the chair. And do they always tie you in a barber's chair? And the guy got the heavy equipment, all the stuff that was pneumatic. And I remember he started cutting my hair, you know. He said, what do you want? I said, get rid of the length. Oh, that was too vague. You know you're in trouble when you hear the clippers bog. And I saw this big wad of hair go. Well, I said, well, that's a lot of hair, but I guess that didn't take. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What else did he find back there? And after about the third one, I realized, oh, man, did I make a mistake. And I prayed this. I said, God, you better guide this barber. Because I already know when he's done, I'm not going to like what it looks like. So I am out of the equation. So guide him so that when it's done, it looks like you want it to. And so after about 4 hours, I don't know if he broke for lunch or got winded, but I got out of the chair. I can still remember he held this mirror up. And the first two words came to my mind were, drowned rat. That is exactly what I thought, drowned rat. But you know what I noticed about the reflection? It was grinning from ear to ear. You know why? Because that was the way God wanted it to look. Apparently, I didn't take off enough. But anyway, but guys, what have you ever sacrificed? You know, I told somebody the other day, I don't know this for a fact, and I'm not trying to prove it. I might still like the taste of beer. So how would you know? Well, I'd have to taste it again. I haven't tasted it in 45 years. What I'm saying is I might still like it. I didn't quit drinking it because I didn't like it anymore. I quit drinking it because God didn't want me to. You know what's wrong with some of you? You won't sacrifice anything. You're waiting for you to stop wanting to do it before you stop it. But if God makes you stop wanting to do it, then you're doing it for yourself. And where's the sacrifice in that? And so, guys, what could you do? I'll bet some of you could just change some of what you watch, some of what you say, some of how you dress, what you look at. Guys, there's no telling. Some of your jokes could clean up. And just a little bit, and all of a sudden, God in heaven would go, wow, they really must love me. Because they like that. They've never quit liking that. They just stopped it for me. Guys, that is what love is. So when you love somebody, look, if you do something to put a smile on the face of the person you love. If you guys went out and bought flowers and walked in and said, here, these are for you. First off, your wife would probably say, what did you do? But if you gave your wife something and it put a smile on her face, you go, look what I did. I made her happy. Wouldn't it be nice to do that for God? And so when you love somebody, you want them to be happy because of their actions. When you love somebody, you are unable to think ill of them. You know, one of the things about love is, I don't say it blinds your eyes. It just makes your heart totally prejudiced in their favor. In other words, if there is a flaw in the character of the person you love, and you see that character flaw and somebody says something about it, you don't deny that it's there. You just find some reason why it's still okay for them to do that. It is okay because I love them. We will justify anything somebody that we love does. Isn't that right? Guys, let me tell you something. This God is never wrong. This God is never, ever wrong. You say, well, I won't let anybody say ill about him. Well, how many times have you? I'll give you a prayer. I've prayed this prayer many times. I'll probably pray it again. It's not an exciting prayer. But there's times when I get down on my knees and I say this. I am totally in disagreement with what's going on in my life right now. But you got to finish it with this. But you're right. Guys, God is always right. Isn't that true? Amen. Look, don't you kid yourself. You don't always agree with everything God does in your life. Isn't that true? You know what's wrong? Is God does something that you didn't want him to do, and then you go out the door and never come back. I'll show him. You won't show him anything. He doesn't need you. He'll still be God. He doesn't need you or me. We don't make him God by our actions or by our love or by anything else. He doesn't need us. But what I'm saying is God does something in your life. I have said it this way. I've shortened that prayer to this. I really have. I've said, I highly disagree with what's going on in my life right now. I'm on my knees. I am talking to my maker, my savior, my boss, okay? I said, I highly disagree with what's going on in my life right now, but don't worry. I know who the idiot is in this picture. You say you didn't. Go ask him. That's exactly what I said. Because I know who the idiot is. It's always me. When God and I disagree, he is always right. I am always wrong. Isn't that true? You know what you got to do sometimes? Say, I don't like what's going on in my life, but I'm not going to even be upset with you. Guys, I cannot tell you. I don't want to go into this too much. I spend a lot of nights not sleeping. Just not sleeping. Say, what do you do? It must be awful. I am not in despair. I am having one of the best times of my life. I say, Lord, I start off by saying this. I can't sleep tonight and I am tired. I have no complaint against you. I'm bringing no complaint against you. And then I just talk about how good he is. We have a great time. Now, after numerous nights in a row, it gets kind of rugged. But what I'm telling you is you should be unable to think anything bad about God. I know you will sign the line that God can't be wrong. I know that. Do you believe God can be wrong? Yes or no? You'll always say no. Do you believe God is always right? Yes or no? You'll always check yes. Isn't that right? And then when it becomes personal, you get mad at him and you say something ugly to him, you say something ugly about him, or you walk out of church and don't come back. Then what you put on a piece of paper, your little yes check or no check, didn't really mean a thing, did it? Guys, when you love somebody, you just can't think anything bad of them. You're unable to think ill of them. When you refuse to believe any negative things that are brought against them. I was talking to a 16-year-old girl one time, saved girl. Her mother had just died. And she was a pretty good Christian. Her mom was a good Christian. And her mom died. I went in with the pastor. He said, this girl's having a real hard time. And she is very upset with God because her mother died. And the girl sounded off, you know, and she was pretty upset with God. And she said some negative things about God. Personally, I don't think God is quick on the lightning bolts. Okay? He's not got a hair trigger. And I think he completely understands. But also there's going to be a time when she's got to be realistic. And I said, let me ask you a question. I knew the answer. I said, do you love your mom? Oh, yeah, I love my mom. They were very close. I said, do you love your mom? Yeah. And I said, do you know that the people we love? Now, think of someone you love. Think of somebody that you really, really love. We can only influence their life up to death. Correct? You can only take them out to eat. Trust me, you can't take a cadaver out to eat. Lean them in a corner. Remember when we used to do this? Anyway, everything we can do. We can please them. We can show our love for them. We can do good things for them. We can spend time with them up to death. But we can't do anything. Death stops us, right? And I said, look, you loved your mother. And I said, everything good you could do for your mom was up to death. And I said, you know what happens at death? We hand the person we love over to somebody that can take care of them after death. You know what? My parents died. They got saved and they died. I loved my parents. And I loved them up until they died. I still love them, but I could only interact with them up until death. And at death, you know what I did? I handed them over to somebody that loved them even more than I did. Isn't it nice? I'm not saying you should be glad when your loved ones die. You shouldn't be glad because we lose them. We lose the contact with them. But if you love somebody, you ought to say, I took them to death. And then when I was no longer in power, no longer had the power to touch them. Do you understand how hopeless you would feel, how helpless you would feel if you love somebody and they were alive and you could do nothing for them? Well, when they die, you can't do anything for them. So we hand them off to the one with the nail-scarred hands, and he takes care from there on. That should make you love the Lord even more. You should have a hard time letting anybody say anything negative about God. And yet you go to work and somebody sounds off about God, you ought to be his defender. You ought to stop them. We were at a meeting one time. Now, my wife, she is a good lady. She really is. And she helps. We go to the pastor's house and she helps set the table and clean up and all this other stuff. And so we get in Saturday night, first time in this church. We get in Saturday night and after the Saturday night's over, Kathy's in the kitchen and we're on the way back to the trailer. And she goes, you know, I tried to set the dishes, tried to set the table. And she said, the woman said, I'll do that. And so she didn't bother. And then she said, I tried to pick up. She goes, I'll do that. Just real cold, you know. And so Kathy didn't do that. And she said, that was Saturday night, that was Sunday, that was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night. And by Monday night, my wife is just about in tears. She said, I try to talk to her, she won't talk. She won't let me do anything, I can't do the dishes, I can't do anything, but we don't speak. And I said, well, look, babe, I said, just, you know, I don't know what it is, but we'll just try to get through the meeting. And Tuesday morning, the pastor came by and said, can I talk with you? And we sat down, he goes, I think your wife is shunning my wife. Now, really, I really am a slow boil person, believe it or not, but there are some when we go, like pulling three rods out of a reactor real quick. And I said, what? He said, she won't speak with my wife. I said, wait just a second, pal. I said, I'm going to tell you something. I said, you go across this country and you say my name and you will get some bad input. True or not true, you will hear my name disparaged. You will have somebody say something bad about me. It might be true, it might not be. I said, you will not hear anything bad about that woman. And then I told him what his wife had not been doing. And you know what he said? There had been some kind of a row in Christianity and somehow he came down on one side and thought that I came down on the other. And he said, so we just thought before you got here that you guys wouldn't want to fellowship with us. And that's why she did that. I said, then it sounds like your wife has been shunning my wife.
I guess so.
Man, listen, guys, you know, there just ought to be a time when what hair you have left stands up. And when you love somebody and somebody starts chewing on them, you should want to really ruin their day. But that's how you ought to be about God. And yet somebody bad mouths your Savior. And I don't just mean they use God's name in vain, but they say something ugly about God and you don't rise to their defense. If your wife was standing right next to you and somebody said something disparaging about her and you did not rise to her defense, what would be the first conversation you two had when you got in the car? She'd say, why did you do that? Now, if she wasn't there, she wouldn't know. But God is always there, and he always knows. And you let somebody say something about God, you ought to say, wait a minute, pal, that's my Savior. Wait a minute, pal, listen, you're looking at one of the rottenest people who ever walked this planet, and he's died for my sins, and he saved me. And you do anything you want, but don't you get on him. Guys, when is the last time you argued in God's behalf? When is the last time you stood for him? When is the last time you took his side? When was the last time you said, I don't even know, I can't even see. When I hear your story, yeah, it sure sounds like God did you wrong, and I'm here to tell you he is still right. Because when you love somebody, you don't want to hear anything negative about them. When you love somebody, you want them to see something in you that will make them love you in return. You know, it's one thing to love somebody, but if you can get their attention, guys, do you remember doing some stupid things? Now, please, aren't you glad they didn't have cell phones with cameras when you were young? There was a day when you could actually, you know, there was a day when you could actually do something stupid and no one found out. Other than maybe the couple of people that were right there in the inner circle, you know, and they went, I can't believe he did that. I mean, hey, what's me standing on my head? I mean, you just did some really stupid things because you just wanted somebody to look your way. You wanted them to think good of you. And there were no cell phones to have it put on Facebook by 5 o'clock with 5,000 views. So that the next time you walked into church, somebody said, oh, I saw what you did. Oh, man. But you did some stupid things, didn't you? You know, just if you could get that girl to look your way. You girls probably did something like that. If you could just get that guy to look your way. Isn't that right? What did you ever do to try to turn the head of God? You know what I'm thankful for? I am thankful for the truth of 1 John that says God is love. You know why? Because God is love. And I probably said it here. I equate the love of God to a radiator. I'm talking about the old cast iron, hot water heat radiators. You know why they're called radiators? Because that's just what they do. They just radiate heat. They don't, it's not like a motion detector light that you walk into a dark room and all of a sudden the light comes on. Man, if a radiator worked that way and you came in just about to freeze to death, you'd freeze to death before it got warm. If it started the moment you walked in the room. You want this thing warm in the room long before you're there, right? And here's what happens when you walk in the room, you're finally in a position to benefit from that, what that radiator just naturally does. It just naturally radiates heat. Isn't that true? You know what our God does? He naturally loves. And like that radiator radiates heat. You know why he loves us? Because he is love. I am so glad. I am so glad it is not something about me that he loved, because we all change. And if there was something about you that turned God's head, that might leave you. You might change. And then he'll say, I don't love you anymore. I'm glad. You know what happened when you and I got saved? It's just kind of like when you walk into that room and you finally can, you're in a position where you can benefit from that, what that radiator naturally does. When we got saved, we just stepped into the room where God was loving, and we just got a position where we could naturally benefit, or we could benefit from what God naturally does. He loves. And he loves us because he loves. And I am glad for that. And he will always love us because he loves. But wouldn't you like to do something to turn his head? Wouldn't you like to do something where he said, whoa, I can't believe that. That was really something. Did you see what he did? You say, oh, does anybody do that? Well, I know at least one guy was called a man after God's own heart. It must have happened out there on the hillside watching sheep. He must have said something. He must have done something that God said, that guy's a man after my own heart. All he thinks about is what can he do to get my attention? What did you ever do to get God's attention? What did you ever do to say, I want God to notice me? Guys, we're in the age, when I say that the camera and the screen are the new God of America, I don't mean that we worship them. But don't you get your morals from God? Okay, America gets its morals from the camera and the screen. Don't you want God to notice you? Americans will do anything to get noticed by a camera. You know, I think that America's Funniest Home Videos, I don't watch it, but I've seen it a few times. And I think that has some pretty good stuff, and it's funny, but you know what it leads to? It leads to the fraud. The fraud where the guy sets up something that happens, the pie in the face by accident. And you say, well, why would they do such stupid things? Because they want to be noticed by their God. I saw this idiot. He'll probably someday end up in Congress. And he walked up to a fresh cow patty, put a firecracker in it, lit it, and stood there while it blew up. Splattered all over him, went, looked at the camera, You say, what kind of person would do that? If you think he'd do it if there's no camera? He'd have never done it if his God, if he could get the attention of his God, that's how far in degradation he would go to get the attention of his God. Nobody's asking you to do that to get the attention of this God. But when did you ever say, man, I'd love to do something that he would just say, I like that. Remember what David said? He said, oh man, if I could just have a drink of water from that well by the gate of Bethlehem. I mean, I've never tasted better water than the water at that well at the gate of Bethlehem. And three guys said, did you hear what he said? Let's get him that water. Let's just take, hey, they had to fight their way through. People died so they could bring him that water. Guys, what did God say? You come on, you read your Bible. You know some things that God wants in your life. And you can play dumb and you can scream liberty. You can say anything you want. You can make any excuse you want. The fact is that you are just determined to never change anything. You like convenience and you don't want to have to sacrifice anything. But wouldn't it be something if you said, man, if I did something, God say, oh, I like that. And then you know what this man after God's own heart did? He took that and he said, you know, if I drank this, these guys could have been killed. This cost somebody's blood, and I am not worthy of blood, but I've got a God that is. And so he turned that into an even greater offering to God. What I'm asking you, what did you ever do that would turn God's head? Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever said, come on, you know you have done something to draw the attention of another human being. You know you have said, I am going to do this, and so will notice. And maybe it was even make a fool of yourself in some way. But I'm telling you, everybody has wanted to get some other human's attention. You know that is true. When is the last time you said, I am going to do something just to try? Hey, it must really take something to get the attention of a holy God. I mean, when you are naturally unholy, when we say, I'm going to do this just to get his attention, wouldn't it be something God said, whoa, guys, look at this. Look at this. That you know how much I love that. And they knew how much I loved it. Boy, I remember for days they battled. They battled about that. And look at this. They just gave in and did it for me. Guys, when you love somebody, you want them, you want to do something that they would love you back. What have you done? Not that God will not love you if you don't do anything. He's going to love you because he's love. But wouldn't it be nice to have it be special? Wouldn't it be nice to have some part of it be personal? Wouldn't it be nice to have him say, man, I just love everybody because I am love. But you know so-and-so, that is really neat. And you know that guy over there, man, what they do. And you know what that lady, what she did, that just flips my switch. What have you done that they would love you in return? It says, go back to 1 Corinthians. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. You know what God thinks? God thinks you should naturally love him. And I think all of us could make a list of why we should naturally love him. Isn't that right? No, I take that back. We could all make a list of why everyone else should naturally love him. Because we never see anything wrong with us. And if we never see anything wrong with us, if we never see any change, any need of change in our lives, nobody ever changes. Nobody gets anything out of their life. Nobody adds anything holy unto their life. Nothing changes because all of you know what somebody else needs to do to show their love for the Lord. But I'm talking about you. And it says, if you don't love him, you may labor your entire life under a curse. No, you're not going to go to hell. But you know what America's going to have to get used to? You watch. You know what America's going to have to get used to? Not a curse from God, just God quit blessing us. Just, there's some things that in this country, you think that it's the efficiency of our infrastructure. No, it is just a God that says, I'll just let that switch work this time. It shouldn't have. And we have major things happen, and 3 people die, and 10 people die, and the same thing happens in a pagan country, and 600 people die. And we're going to have to get used to God not blessing us. But guys, you want God to bless you, and you don't want him to curse you. You should love him. I'd like you to stand with your heads bowed. Your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I'm not talking about anyone else. I know that you know well where someone else falls short of how they should show their love to God. We preachers are great ones for telling everybody else what they should do to show their love for God. In just a moment, I'm going to have a word of prayer. When I get done praying, then the instruments will begin to play. and the invitation will be open. Maybe somebody needs to come and say, Lord, you know what? I haven't even had a conscious thought about loving you. I haven't had one conscious thought. I just figured if I didn't hate you, if I showed up for church, I must love you. But you never had that kind of a feeling toward a human. It was always active, wasn't it? It was always a desire to be seen, a desire to spend company with them, a desire to make them happy. When is the last time you had those feelings that you had for a human, for this God? Maybe you need to say, you know something, Lord, I just got some things in my life that I think I'll always like them. I don't want to give them up. But I got a feeling you'd be happier if I got rid of something. Maybe whatever it is. Look, if the Lord has talked to your heart, good. Act on that. If he hasn't, then wait a few minutes, you go eat. But I believe this. I always say this. Don't tell the Lord you love him. Show it. In the next 7 days, do this. In the next 7 days, from today till next Sunday, tell God you love him without saying the words. Tell him you love him, but do not say, I love you. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your great kindness. And thank you for loving us. Thank you for being a God that is love. It's not that you just love, but you are love. Thank you, God, like a radiator radiates heat and we can feel that heat permeate our bodies. God, we feel your love permeate our hearts. And you have not come short in anything that you've done. You are God. You are always right. And God, I cannot, before these people, I cannot say that I agree with everything you've ever done in my life. But before these people, I can say you have never been wrong. And every time that I've disagreed with you, I have been wrong and you have been right. But, oh, Lord God, to turn your head. Oh, Lord God, to put a smile on your face. To give you a chuckle. To just be pleasing to you. Oh, Father, that we would start our days just wanting to tell you that we love you as much as we wanted to tell some human, that we wanted to get your attention like we wanted some human to notice us, that we were willing to sacrifice for you as we've been willing to sacrifice in the name of love for people down here. I don't ask these people, God, quit loving humans. I just wish they'd give you the same. And so, Father, I pray this morning someone will understand that they need to do far more to love you than just say, I don't hate you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. With your heads bowed and eyes closed as instruments play, if you need to come and talk to the Lord, why don't you come? Why don't you come right now? Lord, I'm sorry. I haven't done much to really show I loved you. What have you done to try to get his attention? What have you done to try to put a smile on his face? What have you done to try to make him happy? Did you change things about yourself to make your spouse love you? What did you change about yourself that you would say, I think God wanted that? Folks are coming. If you need to come, there's still time. Thank you.
Let's go ahead and take our hymnals and turn to number 483. Number 483. Oh, how I love Jesus.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Nathan Gipp, would you come on up here and close us in a word of prayer? And while he's coming, let me encourage you once again, reach out and meet somebody you've never met before, make a new friend. And if we haven't said hi in a long time, or I've never had the opportunity to meet you, would you please tag me right out there in the middle of the foyer? We'll meet again tonight at 5:45, and Brother Gipp will preach to us once again.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for the message of love. God, I ask that you help us when we leave here and we go our separate ways, that we would find a way to apply it. Lord, help us not to be doers of the word, or hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Lord, I pray that you'd be with this family that is joining the church. God, that you would bless them. Lord, that they would find this to be a home. Lord, that they would get busy doing the work of God here. Lord, bring us back to service tonight, and we love you for all that you've done. If we forget that, help us to look to the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.